because we are not going to be tethered to the past in our mistakes and the brokenness that we have demonstrated. That is true. We have let things go by. We've not seized opportunities from the past year. We've overlooked opportunities to reconcile relationships. Maybe we've said things or done things that we know not only, you know, is dishonoring to you, but maybe we've dishonored a loved one, a family member, a co-worker. And so with that, Lord, we say, grant us wisdom and discernment to be able to go and do whatever we can to reconcile, to ask for forgiveness, so that we can move forward with a clean slate. God, we're trusting you as we kind of look over the edge of the mountain, as we finish this ascent called 2017, and as we look over, we do so by faith, trusting that you will take us each and every step of the way with great anticipation. And for that, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the two most prominent words for time in the New Testament are chronos and kairos. Chronos and kairos. Those are the two most prominent. Chronos is something you're familiar with because you've heard of the chronological Bible or the chronology. Like, for example, when you look in Matthew, there's the chronology of Jesus, 14 generations, and it gives all these names, many of them we can't even, you know, even say, but that's a chronology. 2017 happened one day at a time, 365 days, and now we're looking at 2018, which will be 365 days, you know, the same thing. That is chronology. Things happen. It progresses. Kairos has everything to do with the quality of what you do with that time. The quality of that time. Like, for example, my mother, my dear mother, who's been a believer all my life, you know, raised us, you know, made us go to church when I didn't want to. You know, I came to know the Lord at 17, so as you can imagine, Sunday school was a ton of fun for me, not knowing the Lord. It was difficult, but she made us go, and I'm grateful for that. But mom's 87 years old, and she's full of a lot of pains, right? Physical pains. And I love this whenever I talk to mom. How you doing, mom? Well, this hurts, and that hurts. And then, but praise Jesus. I'm like, okay, right? You know, and it's interesting because it seems like much of her day is preoccupied with frustration. Who is alive that does not live a day with frustration is the question, right? It just depends on where we're at on the journey, what we're actually facing. The issue is we live in a broken world. We are broken people. And for the glory of God, we can seize opportunity in moments that are incredible. Like, for example, some of you said, well, you know, I wasn't a good dad or a good mom in 2017. I wasn't a good grandma or a grandpa. Great. 2018, here we come. Kairos. Let's live in the moment and let's maximize these moments that we are given by God as a gift. You understand that when we take advantage of the moments God gives us for His glory, He is honored and glorified. It is an act of worship. We don't just worship when we come in here and sing a few songs. We worship every day by our life, by seizing those moments that He has given to us as a gift for His glory, for His greatness, and for His kingdom. Can I hear an amen? Yes.
Amen.
That's what worship is all about. So let's live a Kairos worship experience for this next year, because God is calling us in to something far greater than what we even experienced in 2017. And some of you are going, I don't know if it could get any better. You want to bet? God's in control. He's got great things in store. See, some of us are so pessimistic, we're like going, oh, we live in such a dark world. It's nasty. Look at our politics. Okay, okay, okay. But how much more than in the midst of such brokenness and darkness does light shine? You and I are light. We are not the darkness. We don't even belong to the darkness. We are light. will we allow God to let His light shine through us in a way that brings Him honor and glory, in a way where we become a Kairos living people, where we maximize our days, not just, oh, another day, another dollar. It's time to go to bed. I better take my Geritol, get me through the night. I gotta wake up in the morning. What an opportunity. There is a great opportunity in front of us. Let me give you an example that maybe will crystallize this for you. So, a few years ago, a friend of mine who happens to be a mountain goat, he loves to climb mountains. He just came back from Nepal and went up to like 22-something. You know, he didn't go all the way up, Everest, but we saw Everest in the background of his pictures. He says, hey, Z-Man, would you like to climb a 14er with me? I'm thinking, do I really want to? Then I thought, you know what, you live in Colorado, and there's like 59 of these things, so I should probably do it. I said, what's the easiest one? So he tells me, and I said, sure, I'd be willing to do it. So the whole time that we're going now, I am literally walking this 14er in a Kronos attitude. Get to the top, say hello, eat a Snicker bar, and make our way down. Right? That's the plan. That is the plan. That's what we're doing. Now, on the other hand, my mountain goat buddy, who, by the way, I'm just trying to breathe, okay, as we're walking, you know, he's having a conversation with me. I'm like, it's only one way, buddy. I got nothing to give you back. I'm just trying to make it up here. And so we get up. I finally can't wait. We get to this place where it looks like we're at the top. I said, are we there? And he goes, oh, no. We still, oh. Right? It's like, oh, this is horrible. Why did I ever decide to climb a 14er? That's what pride will get you every time, right? So we finally get up there, we make it, and I was like, are we ready to go back with the whole idea? I just want to go home. I just want to go home. You know what my buddy's doing? He's looking at rock formations. He's pointing stuff out. He's saying, isn't this beautiful, God's handiwork? I'm like, all I see is rocks, man. Don't even bother me. I'm just trying to get there. See, that's the difference between Kronos, get me to the top, and get me back, and Kairos. Do you see everything that God has created here? Look. Look to the left. Look to the right. And I'm going, I just want to breathe. You see, there's a difference. How do you live your life? See, one life is a life that, quite frankly, the world lives. Let's just get through the day. Oh, by the way, let's do enough things to kind of anesthetized all of our brokenness, so we'll get hammered, like tonight's gonna be crazy. You know, all these kind of things to satiate the brokenness of our heart for us. We get to live Kairos lives because we see things differently for the glory of God. That's why we're here. We're not here just to get on with life. We're here to be able to experience the fullness of it so that we can help other people do that on the journey. So here are three ways that we can maximize a Kairos kind of life. Number one, put the past in perspective. Put the past in perspective. The Apostle Paul was a brilliant man. He was well-educated and worked through the ranks to become one of the Pharisees of Pharisees. In fact, he was really good at what he did. And yet what he does after his encounter with Christ is he reminds us as he pens this in Philippians 3. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Releasing those things which are behind, letting go. He had a pedigree. In fact, he reminds some of his readers, doesn't he? I was, you know, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was telling us all these things, and he goes, they are all but rubbish compared to the glory of God. See, forgetting what is behind us is important. Not that we don't learn from it, but we literally release it. If you had an incredibly successful year in business, great. Thank God for it and press into another great year. If you had a rough year, it was a horrible year. Praise God for it and ask him to grant you mercy and his kindness as you move into this year, anticipating his greatness. There's always something to learn from the past. But know this, the past is in the past. Yesterday, Saturday, December 30th, is gone. We are today in the 31st. There's nothing you can do about that. It's gone. It's the past. And yet the enemy of our soul wants us to be reminded of our past way too often. For Christ followers, oftentimes the past serves like a ball and chain restraining us from moving into the present or future for the glory of God. Our lives are like a ship that has run aground, sitting stuck on the sandbar of an abysmal life, getting crushed by the relentless waves of past mistakes, mishaps, misopportunities, sinful actions, and broken relationships. We wait and wait for the tide to come in enough to raise our ship so that we might sail again, but it never seems to do so. So stranded by our thoughts, we sit in misery. We lose perspective and have no hope of ever changing for the glory of God. What a sad place for Christ followers. Do you know you are listening to the whispers of the enemy of your soul if you live a life like that? It's the enemy that will remind you of your past. Isn't that beautiful? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Woo! Come on. That's called a clean slate. So why do you keep wallowing in your past mistakes when God says, would you get on with it? I have forgiven you. I have set a new course for you. This is the way. Stop going back. Stop going back. What do we learn about the Israelites that absolutely nauseate us because of what we know is in front of them? They kept wanting to go back to Egypt. What? You want to go back to bondage and slavery and ridicule and scorn just because it was safe and it was something that you knew? There is nothing in Egypt for you either as a believer. It stands in the promised land yet ahead of you. And for us, that begins in 14 hours. A new year, a new opportunity. So put the past in perspective. Don't allow it to become a ball and chain. Don't allow it to overwhelm you. I like what famed English pastor Martin Lloyd-Jones said. To dwell on the past simply causes failure in the present. While you are sitting down and bemoaning the past and regretting all the things you have not done, you are crippling yourself and preventing yourself from working in the present. If there's something there, confess it. If there's a relationship broken, seek to mend it. Whatever, but then let it go and move forward. Some of us keep being reminded of the mistakes we made 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And we go, God could never use me. That is the biggest joke I've ever heard. What do you mean? The Apostle Paul sat there and held the garments of people who were killing God's children. In fact, he was getting permission to be able to go in, pull them out of their houses in order. He was an accomplice to murder. Do we need to go back through all the scriptures? Abraham, a chronic liar, and the list goes on and on. Moses, a murderer, on and on and on. And yet God speaks a new future for them. You can't change your past. You know what? I was a really good pagan before I came to Christ. Let's just say I partied a lot. One of our presidents said he never inhaled. I inhaled a lot. Okay? You know, and every chance I did. In fact, my senior year, I went to school all day long stoned, straight up. And then I met Jesus June 3rd, 1980, after my senior year. I can look back and I can wallow in the fact that my memory's been toasted and way, way, way beyond it should. That's part of the consequences of my choices. but I am not living. That is not my life. That is not who I am. And neither will I be tethered to the mess that I caused when I was a teenager. I won't live there because that does not honor God. How about you? How about you? Are you tethered to the past? The enemy is telling you, you're no good. You'll blow it. You can't serve God. Look what you did 3 years ago. Look what you thought 5 minutes ago. What? Listen, confess it, get a clean slate, and let's get moving on for the glory of God. Great things are in store, not to those that are reflecting on the brokenness of the past, but those who anticipate God's greatness in the moment, moving us forward. We need to step into that. So the second thing to live a kairos kind of life is, number two, put passion in the present. Put passion in the present. Colossians 4:5 says this, make the most of every opportunity. That's kairos. Make the most. Seize the moments. Take advantage of what God has placed in front of you. Some of you, and I've met several business people, they're like Midas. Whatever they touch turns to gold. Great. Don't ever feel bad about that. Your skill and your excellence in business can be used for the glory of God. Because you're so good at business, you provide income for people. Make sure you treat people well. But again, you have an opportunity to provide income and blessing for many, many other people. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having money. Remember, it's the love of money that will rot our soul. Not having money, there's nothing wrong with wealth. We get this idea, in the church, if I have a little money, I don't want to wear my best because if I wore my best, that's goofy. Listen, praise God that God has chosen to allow you the privilege to be wealthy. Praise God. Just don't love it, because if you do, you're in trouble. And remember what Paul told Timothy. Tell those who are wealthy among you to be generous, to give. Be generous. I have a friend that's probably worth about $500 million. Now, I don't even know what that means, people. Right? I don't even understand what that means. But he's one of the most generous people I've ever met. Do you know that him and his wife and their foundation is having an unbelievable impact in West Africa? A school that is rated the second best school in the entire country they built. The hospitals where people can come and get malaria medicine for less than $2, because anywhere else in the country, they will try to rip you off. People can come and get malaria medicine for $2. They built that hospital and they fund that hospital. They are blessing a nation like you would not believe. You know what I say about that? Praise God! Woo! Isn't that exciting? It's not wrong having money. It's what you do with it that really determines the greatness of it. Money is just an inanimate object. Comes in, goes out. How we disperse it for the glory of God is what it's all about. I love this one. I can't afford to give. Really? Guess what? Then you'll never afford anything. Because a tight-fisted person, God will never bless. Write that down. Write that down. A tight-fisted person, God will never bless. Why? Because God's very nature is generous. He was so generous, he sent his one and only son. Put some passion into the present. Realize God has placed you where you are for his purposes and for his glory. Why this family, Lord? Why am I in this family? For his good, your glory, his glory, for his honor and praise. Matthew 6:33 reminds us, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough issues within it. We hear a great deal about being present. Have you heard that? We need to be present with one another. That's so true. Because there's a tendency, and I used to do this. I used to come home thinking about work, that I wasn't present with my family. And I remember my one daughter, my middle daughter, she's an eye-to-eye person, like, if I'm not giving her eye contact, she would do this when she was young. Daddy, she'd grab my face. And look at me. Okay. All right. So, okay, now I need to go. So here's what I taught myself. About 5 to 7 minutes out from my house, there was a sign that I drove underneath on my way home. I literally said, every day I worked, I'm done with work. There's nothing I can do. It's over. Ministry's never over. It's like a river. It just always flows. But the point is, I'm done with this part of it. I'm going home. It's time now to engage even higher because they deserve even more. And with 3 daughters, a wife, and a neutered dog, they deserve more. And they required more. I didn't have anybody on my side. And there were times the girls would be waiting in the garage to talk to dad. And I was like, all right, that's off limits. You got to at least wait in the house. Why? Because we all long for that. Be present. That's a Kairos kind of life. Be present. Engage people. Have meaningful conversation. You know, oftentimes, what do our wives say? I just want you to talk to me. It's not, no. Don't believe that. What she wants you to do is to be present with her and to listen, to feel with her, to understand her. She doesn't want you just talk, football. Let's talk about the football game. I'll talk to you. No, that's not what she wants. It's not even what she needs. Come to find out, once you begin doing that, you realize you need it as well, gentlemen. You need good conversation as well. We need to be present with one another. Passion means to engage, to be intentional, to be purposeful. We engage one another. We involve ourselves in such a way. And so this idea of one day is to live passionate. But how do we do that in a Kairos sort of way for the glory of God? I like what John Piper says when he says this. The opposite of wasting your life is living life by a single, God-exalting, soul-satisfying passion. The well-lived life must be God-exalting and soul-satisfying because that is why God created us. So let me ask you, what is your God-exalting, soul-satisfying passion today? What is it? Some of you are going, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to have one. Was there homework? They didn't tell me there was going to be homework. If you can't identify immediately this God-exalting, soul-satisfying passion, I would implore you, challenge you, engage God until you walk away knowing what is it that he wants you involved in that will exalt him and satisfy your soul. That, my friends, you will bring passion to the game. That's what life is about. So we looked at this idea of putting the past in perspective, putting passion in the present, and now what we want to do is put a healthy focus on the future. Again, we find ourselves with what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. When our memories are more powerful than our dreams, when the past has become more of our preoccupation than what God has for us tomorrow, and when we find ourselves sitting smiling about what he has already done and grimacing at what lays ahead, you and I, my friends, have come to a place of spiritual, relational, and emotional gridlock. We have shut down. It's not about the past. Glory days is a joke. There are no glory days. Oh, I was so much more productive. No, you may have felt more meaning. But that meaning can be infused, I don't care how old you are, into this present moment for the glory of God. What is that God-exalting, soul-satisfying passion that will get you up in the morning and get you engaged? It has nothing to do with age. You remember Caleb waited 40 years to be able to go into the promised land and take over the hill country. And you'll remember he was 85 when he got the opportunity. And he was like going, it's about time. Bring it. Thank you, Momo. That's my name for Moses. All right. And off he goes to do what he sensed he was to be all about. 85, there is no limit to time. The glory days, that's a joke. That's just a myth. The glory days is being present in the moment for the glory of God, and that is a glory life, not glory days as in the past. We need to remember that we need to break the gridlock. And how do we do that? We strain forward, we press on. Straining forward means to exert oneself to the uttermost, to stretch out, to literally give it all you got. Now, I realize for some of you, that's just getting out of bed. That's okay. At least you're giving a little strain. All right, that's good. The next one is to press on, means to follow or press hard after, to pursue with eagerness and diligence in order to obtain, to go after with the desire of obtaining. And what is the picture here? It's a picture. The Apostle Paul is using language that he's familiar with. The games. It's a picture of a runner. Think of it. Think of somebody running around the track. They're giving it all they've got. They've been preparing. They give it all they've got. They're straining forward. They're going. But now as they come to that last little bit, they give it all they've got, whatever's left in the tank. They lay it all on the line to cross the line and win. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul's talking about. Do you live your life like that? Instead of you get up to the starting line, you go, all right, Lord, today I'm awake, I'm ready to run. Well, let me think about it. Let me have my coffee, and let me get in my morning nap, and, you know, Lord, I'd like to be able to, you know, a couple things here that I, you know, and then maybe in the afternoon, Lord, we'll get back up to the line, and maybe, but in the nap, but I need my afternoon nap, and, you know, I need to, you know, no, get in the game, get running. This is life. You are to be a full participant, every one of you, every one of us. You see, what we do is we live a life with great anticipation of what God has. And straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize. Not to see someone else win it, but for you to win the prize God has set before your journey. The only way you can win it by is being involved in it, engaging it. Yet oftentimes, we get an unhealthy perspective of the future. We daydream about things we hope to be better one day. In the future, it'll be better. Things will be much better. Waste of time. You're wasting your time. Engage the present in such a way with passion that as you're straining in your race, each day as the next one arrives for you to engage, you are doing so. That's how we live the future. Some of us are like, well, I'm just living, you know, just waiting for Christ to return. Great. What happens if he doesn't return until after you pass? Boy, it's just not going to be fun looking at him going, well, you know, I really didn't engage because I thought you were going to come. You know, I mean, I remember, you know, Jack Van Impe in 1973. Jesus is coming back in 1974. I was at the Erie Crown Theater. I wasn't even a believer then. Mom made me go to that too, but that's a whole other thing, right? But he said, Jesus is coming back in 1974. Man, I wish he were true. But he wasn't. Don't live like that. Engage in the present. There is so much for us to do. You say, but I don't have the strength or capacity. Okay, find out where you can function and where you can be involved. And if nothing else, if you literally don't have physical ability, then pray your socks off, because prayer is one of the most important and powerful weapons for the local church. And this place needs you to engage. It doesn't matter where you're at physically. But I can tell you this right now, and I can say this because I'm a guest speaker. How do you like that? Because I can leave. You can even run me out. But let me say this. When the elders stand in front of you and mention a need, you should run to meet the need. There shouldn't be a 3-week, 5-week, 7-week campaign to try to call enough interest to people to help out with Awana. There shouldn't be long ongoing process to try to get people to help out with Sunday school. No, you should run. That is an opportunity for you to engage your local church and be involved. Get in the race. Stop making excuses. Well, I couldn't be a good Sunday school teacher. Well, you won't with that attitude. Guess how you become a good teacher? Practice. You just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Some people go, I could never do what you do, John. I could never stand up in front of people. I realize 8 out of 10 people hate public speaking. I love it. But let me tell you the first time I spoke. I was off at Liberty University Bible College. It was called Liberty Baptist College back then. And so when I come back as a freshman, I'm 18 years old, my pastor says, I want you to preach. Right? I mean, literally. Now, here's what's hilarious about it. He goes, and I'm like, I don't know. He goes, well, you're Bible college. Come on. I mean, like, duh, you need to preach. I'm like, okay. That was the worst thing I ever said. Because here I am. I get up. I don't know what in the world I'm doing. I've never prepared a sermon before in my life. Dead serious. I am dead serious. It's a Sunday night. Thank you, Jesus. He did that. I'm in an hour and 20 preaching. I don't even know how to land a plane, and I've been thinking about how do I land this plane for about 30 minutes. I don't know what I'm doing. Finally, it was hilarious. There was this older gentleman in the congregation. He does this, right? Puts his arm around his wife, and I was like, that sounds good to me. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. I mean, it was horrible. Horrible. God can take anybody and do anything he wants. Don't you dare discount what God has done in you and where he's brought you on your journey to minimize that for the glory of God. Don't you dare. You have no right to do that. You are literally saying, God, what you have gifted me, what you've called me, how you've redeemed me, doesn't matter because I can't beat myself out of a wet paper bag to serve. That is a joke. Go ahead, run me out of time. Woo! Line up to serve. What a great opportunity you and I have. Remember this. Famed missionary William Carey said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And Oswald Chambers reminds us, step out into the irresistible future with him. How do we live a Kairos life? We put the past in perspective. We put passion in the present. And we put our future in its proper place. What we need to do is recognize that if we're going to live the life that God has called us to, it is not about chronos, chronology, just get through it. It's about kairos, enjoying a meaningful day-to-day life. Would you bow your head for a moment? Is there anything in your past that needs to be released or put into perspective right now? Maybe something you, even as I was speaking, you're going, yeah, but I did this, that. If you need to confess it to God, confess it. If you need to repent of it, turn away from it. If you need to ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. Start fresh. What does God want you to be passionate about in your present, even today? What healthy focus on the future does God want you to embrace? Are you willing to prepare for it? Are you willing to go for it? Lord God, we are grateful that in your kingdom and in your economy, the way you do things in the kingdom, you are so excited when we all participate, when we get involved, when we engage, not only in our families, not only in our community, in our church, but wherever we go, Lord, we are light. We don't shut the light off. That's not how it works. We're always light. We're always on. And we thank you for the privilege of that. Help us to engage. Help us to be mindful of the people and the relationships and the opportunities to serve and to care and to reach out and to show compassion and to show love and to demonstrate, beginning in our homes, Lord, and then to our church, to our community, and to the world. May you be honored and glorified as we look at 2018, God. May this be a year that is astronomical for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name.